No one can keep a secret forever. Joe and Tina Corona are a financial power couple living it up in style in the Deep South.
Joe and Tina were really a happy couple. They spent a lot of time together.
But a shocking series of betrayals is about to shatter their caviar dreams.
Every time we turned a corner, there was something new that popped up.
Hey, please, I'll do anything you say.
An insatiable lust for sex and money threatens to destroy a family.
People get ripped off and want to take revenge one way or the other. Sometimes it goes all the way to homicides.
It's not your money!
And the deadliest secrets are the ones buried deepest.
It's a very dangerous thing because you don't know what people will do if you ruin their lives.
Soon, every dirty little secret will be revealed. It's 2008, and Tina and Joe Corona are living the good life in Bartlett, Tennessee, a quiet suburb of Memphis.
We call it the biggest little small town that you know. You can go anywhere in the city, and within 5 minutes, you'll run into somebody.
It was a very quiet, nice neighborhood. It kind of has rolling hills, so it's a very family-oriented neighborhood.
Tina and Joe met nearly 15 years ago, and it was lust at first sight for both of them.
He was always petting her, and she was sitting in his lap, and lovey-dovey all the time. I mean, I'd say, y'all were just ridiculous. You need to get a motel room or something, go to bed.
Do we have to go to work? Let's just stay here all day.
That's just fine by me.
He bought her flowers all the time and gifts and diamonds and, you know, just anything she wanted. He treated her like a princess.
As the couple's love grew over the years, so did Tina's career as a financial executive.
Tina was vice president for the company she worked for. She did real well for herself. She worked herself up the ladder, starting from a bank teller up to the VP of the company.
And at Tina's urging, Joe gave up his old job as a shoe salesman and is now a successful financial executive in his own right.
Joe was doing fairly well for himself. He was also making a lot of money in the insurance business.
And now that the money's rolling in, the Coronas are finally ready to buy their dream home.
She was making plans how to decorate it and how to add to it.
Do you like one of these two colors?
You pick whatever you want.
They were extremely excited. She wanted to move out of the smaller home. She wanted to be out in the country, around friends. And that was her main goal, is to get that house.
But life for this Delta queen and king is about to take a catastrophic turn. On the morning of October 25th, 2008, Tina heads out to run errands.
After Tina left, Joe Corona left to go visit one of his friends that lived not too far away and hung out with him for several hours.
Best game of the year so far, are you kidding me?
When the time comes to reconnect that evening.
Tina, are you home?
Tina?
Joe comes home to an empty house and realizes he hasn't heard from Tina all day.
Hey, it's me, I'm home. Where are you? Call me.
Joe knows she rarely goes this long without checking in.
So he started trying to call her at that point and was not able to get her on the telephone.
Call me back as soon as you get this.
And she wasn't at the house.
None of Tina's friends have heard from her either.
No, Joe, I haven't seen her.
Thanks.
Hours go by, but Tina never returns home. A worried Joe calls the police.
Yeah, hi, I think my wife is missing.
Joe is, you know, in a panic.
No, I haven't heard from her in a few hours.
And he is calling and he desperately asks for help.
I just need some help here.
To find Tina. He sounded the alarm at that point that she seemed to be missing.
Can you please send someone over? I just need some help here.
Joe explains to police that all his calls to Tina's cell phone have gone unanswered, and that he's spoken to all of Tina's friends, but none of them have heard from her either. If Tina's been in an accident, police find it unlikely that Joe wouldn't have already been notified. And local hospitals say they haven't admitted anyone matching Tina's description. So what happened to her? When investigators question her friends and family, everyone seems to have a theory.
The first thing I thought was, oh my God, maybe she was carjacked, you know. It's crime all the time. Somebody gets shot every day and over anything.
I was just thinking she was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and somebody took her. Being Memphis, you never know. Memphis is not a very safe city.
Police have to take those possibilities seriously.
Anything could happen. Memphis is a very violent city, and things happen all the time. Did someone hurt her? Did she get kidnapped and taken somewhere? She had a very nice car, so was there someone stalking her? We would look into all of it. Those are the questions that we ask.
Don't hurt me!
Shut up!
But police also know that when someone goes missing, it's often because that person wants to be missing. But if Tina has run off, she's left a comfortable life behind and hasn't told anyone where she's going. Could she be hiding secrets that made her want to simply vanish?
Appearances can always be deceiving. What we see on the surface of any family and what's going on behind that facade is sometimes an entirely different story. It's possible that maybe it was easier for her to run from those secrets, to hide from those secrets, and that she decided to vanish herself.
Detectives question the people who should know Tina best, her family.
How long has it been since you've seen your daughter?
And when they do, her mother and brother surprise them by revealing a painful family secret.
It's been months since I talked to my daughter.
Tina's family says they haven't heard from her, and they don't expect to, because they've been estranged for more than a year.
Tina and I hadn't spoken since August. They hadn't heard from her, and it hurts me every day.
What could have driven a wedge between them? And is it connected to Tina's sudden disappearance? Detectives are about to hear an alarming accusation that might hold the answer.
He took the money that my father left for my mother. If it weren't for him, none of this would have happened.
That's not what your father told me.
Just how bloody did the bad blood in this Southern family get?
Oh, it ended terrible. She had lost her family that night.
We're done.
She tried to make it everything work, but she had her own secrets. She had her demons with her family.
Tina Corona went out to run an errand one day and never returned. And Tina's mother and brother have no idea where she may be, because they've barely spoken to her in more than a year. The reason the family fractured, they tell police, was an argument over Tina's late father's estate.
The money that my father left for my mother, he had the audacity to take control of it.
2 months after my father had passed away, we had some concerns that Joe was doing some underhanded things with my mother's money. So we had a family meeting, and the family meeting got a little bit out of hand.
Tina's family accused her husband, Joe, of trying to get his hands on cash that wasn't rightfully his.
The money was left for my mother. It wasn't given to you to invest.
I understand you're upset, and I'm sorry about your father, and I'm sorry about your husband, but this is our money to handle.
This is not your money!
Joe denied it, and things got ugly.
This is my mother's money! You need to give it back!
Tina found herself caught in the middle of a heated battle.
Tina, you need to be a part of this.
She was torn. It's like, here's my husband. I trust him. Then here's my family, and they don't trust him. And they're accusing him of some pretty big things.
In the end, Tina sided with her husband and broke all ties with the family.
Until you give it back, you're cut out of this family.
From that point forward, we had become estranged because my sister said, you know, this is her husband, and believed everything he said and went, followed him.
She said she had lost her family that night. And from then on, I never spoke to her.
Police wonder, if Tina chose Joe over her family, what could have driven her to now abandon her husband, too?
That's who she wanted to spend the rest of her life with, was Joe. Why would Tina ever walk away from Joe after all this that she's gone through with her family and everything else in her life?
She loved him. She loved him so much. And she was so, so excited about getting that new house.
When detectives put the question to Tina's relatives, they say Tina may have had good reason to run from Joe. They claim he isn't the loving family man he seems to be. Yes, he and Tina are often joined at the hip, they say, but that's not because of endless devotion. It's because Joe is extremely possessive and rarely lets Tina out of his sight for long.
What's the deal?
I'm not cheating on you.
Come on, don't lie to me.
With Tina, he was very controlling.
Tina, are you home?
He called her not because he wanted to talk to her. He wanted to check and see what she was doing, where she was.
I need to know where you are.
I'm just running errands.
Look, I'm tired of coming home and not finding you here.
Please don't yell at me. I didn't...
He controlled everything in that house. If her phone was set down, he might have picked it up and looked through it. If the computer was left on, he was looking through emails. He's one of these guys that he thought information was power. And the more information he had, the more power he had over someone.
Then Tina's family reveals something they say she was desperate to keep from her controlling husband. After more than a year of silence, Tina recently contacted her family in secret.
There was some emails back and forth between she and her mother and trying to kind of smooth things back over and slowly get back together with her family. But she did not want Joe to know.
It's possible that Tina was keeping her communications with her mother and her brother secret from Joe so that she could plan some type of secret exit strategy so that she could leave her life, leave Joe, get out of that relationship and keep it a secret from everybody else.
Keep the phone on!
Maybe she just left because she had said a lot of times she wished she could just run away. And I thought maybe she did.
You're being crazy.
But if Tina has been suffocating in her marriage, where would she run? Joe tells detectives he thinks he knows where, because she's recently reconnected with an old flame named Brad.
Joe told us that his wife had been seeing someone, an old boyfriend.
This is a guy she had seen in the past. If the relationship has become quite passionate and hot and heavy, as Joe described it, it's possible that maybe she ran off with him.
Joe says he knows next to nothing about Brad besides his name. So it's time for detectives to do some digging.
We've got to look into it. We got to go find that individual.
But before they can, a random phone call provides investigators with some chilling news. Tina Corona's car has been located.
These folks called the police and said, there's a truck that's been sitting on our street in front of my house. Can y'all come check it out?
I looked in and I knew exactly what we had. I knew there was a death, and we knew it was Tina Corona.
Tina Corona has been strangled to death.
We have a homicide.
With Tina Corona dead, police wonder if it could be a random robbery gone wrong. But when investigators examine Tina's body, they find she's still wearing her jewelry. There's almost no chance a mugger would have left it all behind.
Based on my experience, there is not a gangbanger or a drug fiend that would have left her with her fingers if they could not have just pulled it off easily. They'd have chopped her finger off at the knuckle to get those rings that were on her hand.
But if it wasn't a robbery, then why was Tina Corona killed? Did her secret love affair turn deadly? The search for Tina's mystery lover leads to some sexy secrets, but not the ones investigators expected to find.
The case ended up being a new secret around every turn. Secrets always have a way of climbing to the surface.
The discovery of Tina Corona's dead body has Memphis police asking, who would want this Southern Belle dead?
Is there anyone in her life, maybe from before you were together, that she might have been contacted by or run into?
Her husband, Joe, points detectives to an old flame named Brad.
Yeah, a guy from high school she was talking to. You should find that guy. Bring him in.
Could a lover's quarrel have exploded into something deadly?
When two people run off into an affair, it's often a very reckless decision, not very well thought out. And along with those emotions can come fighting. There can be jealousies.
Are you still going home and sleeping with him? Is that what you're doing?
And it's entirely possible that this relationship could have spiraled out of control. The two of them could have gotten into some type of violent altercation.
You almost ruined everything. You
ruined everything? You keep blowing me off.
It's over.
It's over? I'll give you over.
Detectives pull everything they can find on Brad.
We're looking for any kind of violent history, any kind of history of stalking or something of that nature, any correspondence with him to her, any kind of connections whatsoever, phone calls, any of that stuff.
But their search comes up empty. And when they bring Brad in for questioning, he denies that he's been sleeping with Tina at all.
Said it wasn't true, hadn't seen her in years.
I have not seen her.
You're not calling her all the time, sending her emails?
No.
Detectives aren't sure they believe him.
An affair is, by definition, a betrayal. And betrayal almost invariably leads to deceit. People lie, lies upon lies upon lies, because the consequences of that secret becoming known can actually be devastating.
Cops keep pressing him, but he sticks to his story, and his alibi checks out. Investigators cut him loose. And Tina's closest friends tell detectives that the idea of Tina taking a secret lover is ludicrous.
She tells me everything. There's no way she would keep something like that a secret from me.
I know she was not having an affair, because she would tell me. I'd be the one she'd go to, and that was not going on.
If there really was no affair, then who else in Tina's life would want her dead? Her husband, Joe, says Brad isn't the only man from her past out there. He reveals that Tina was married once before and has a troubled 18-year-old son from that marriage. He says the boy has an attitude problem and now lives with his father.
Her relationship with her son was kind of strained. At first, it was very tight. It was her only child, and she doted on him. But as Tina's son got older, he decided that he wanted to spend a lot of time with his natural father in Mississippi.
It just broke her heart. I mean, you don't want to see your son go.
Joe says the teen was wild and unable to be disciplined. He left their home angry because whenever they argued, he felt his mother was on Joe's side, not his.
What I do, this is my house, my rules. You will do what I say.
Are you going to let him just say that to me?
But was he angry enough to kill? Joe says it's possible.
It's going to create tension in the household. A side is going to be taken. We've seen that she does take her husband's side. So as things get more strict and more difficult for her son, he would finally move out of the house.
Any son in that circumstance could feel resentful. But was his anger strong enough to make him take the ultimate revenge?
And until you show a little bit more respect, things can get really bad around here.
Don't threaten me, Mom. You've been pushing me this entire time.
Children have killed their mothers before. It happens. Absolutely. People do that all the time.
It is not unusual for a child to be the suspect. And the son is old enough and capable of doing that. So, you know, he had to be looked at, find out what he was doing during the time period that Tina disappeared.
You do have to check it out because it's another one of those alternatives you can't overlook.
Police find Tina's son living in Mississippi with his father and question him.
Joe said you and your mother had a rocky relationship.
No, I got along with my mom fine. I didn't get along with Joe.
He says he's not surprised Joe told police he may have been behind his mother's murder because he and Joe share a mutual hatred of each other.
Oh, he was terrible. He was always yelling at me, yelling at my mom.
He accuses Joe of being abusive as a stepfather and says that's what drove him out of his mother's house.
Joe was extremely strict on him.
You're grounded. That's it. I've had enough of this.
My husband and I didn't go over there a lot because of the way Joe treated my grandson. He was very strict.
He was abusive. You guys need to be looking into him.
Tina's son says Joe's the one they should be looking at for murder, not him. He says if anyone has secrets that could have gotten his mother killed, it's his stepfather. Plus, he has an airtight alibi.
He was in Mississippi to play football for his dad. His dad was a coach down there. That Friday night, they won their first game.
Police return to Tina's family to corroborate her son's account of life in the Corona house. And when Tina's brother hears that Joe not only fingered her son, but also suggested she was having a steamy affair, he loses his cool.
This is my sister you're talking about. Are you a clown or a detective? My sister wouldn't do anything like that. She's no whore.
Joe had made mention of that. Tina was probably run off with her boyfriend or something like this. That just did not settle well with me.
He turns the tables on Joe by revealing a bombshell secret of his own.
He was the one who cheated. I caught him.
Joe's the one who's been unfaithful, not his sister. It seems Joe's been sleeping with a married woman from their church for the better part of a decade. He knows because he once saw them at Joe's office.
Lo and behold, they're having sex. It put me in a bad, bad spot. The whole time that he was saying she might have run off with her boyfriend, actually, he had had a girlfriend for the last 8 to 10 years.
Tina's brother believes Joe's mistress, Nancy, could be the reason his sister is dead. She certainly would have something to gain if Tina were out of the way.
I knew that he had been having an affair against my sister for many years, and I thought maybe, hey, they were ready to just get rid of her and have their own little life together. But I thought, man, this is a scorned woman.
I want you. I want you all to myself. I don't want her in the picture anymore.
After an 8-year affair, and Joe's probably been saying, I'm gonna leave her, and doesn't, it's not unusual for the other woman to say, I'm done with it. I'm gonna take this person out of the picture, so I've got him all to myself.
Why don't you just leave her already?
Police track down Nancy and bring her in for questioning.
I heard you had quite the thing for Joe. Maybe obsessed even.
And when she starts talking, the secrets she reveals blow detectives away.
She knew that it didn't look good that she was involved with a man whose wife is now dead.
Whenever there's a love triangle, there's always a possible homicide. It causes more homicides than any controlled substance you can think of.
The investigation into Tina Corona's murder has led detectives to her husband Joe's long-term secret mistress, Nancy. Did she kill Tina to eliminate her rival?
I've had it.
Whenever there's a triangle, there's always a problem of the possible homicide. It's what I refer to as unlawful possession of a significant other. It causes more homicides than any controlled substance you can think of.
Under interrogation, Nancy immediately spills her secrets.
You've been hearing from Joe all the time?
Yeah, almost every day.
She knew that it didn't look good that she was involved with a man whose wife is now dead under suspicious circumstances.
She was completely open with the police, told them everything.
But the story she tells is much different from the one they expected to hear. She's not obsessed with Joe, she claims. If anything, it's the other way around.
Joe seemed to be obsessing over the other woman in that he was constantly trying to get her to leave her husband, to come with him, and, you know, to get married. He was constantly almost, well, to the point of stalking her.
Nancy says his obsessive behavior is scaring her.
In fact, I think he did something bad. I think he's dangerous.
She's worried he may have killed Tina out of some mad obsession with her. But is she just trying to shift suspicion away from herself? Police aren't sure she's telling the truth, so they put her to the test.
We're like, would you be willing to work with us and help us gather this information if it helps us solve the murder of Tina Corona?
Would you be willing to see Joe in person?
Sure.
Ask him some questions for us.
Yeah.
She shows a willingness to cooperate with us and help us in an investigation.
And would you be willing to wear a wire?
I can do that.
So she's probably not involved in the murder.
Nancy agrees to continue the affair and try to get Joe to confess on tape. And the next time Joe wants to see her, she comes dressed to catch a killer.
Thanks for coming to see me.
She tells him that when she heard about Tina's death, she was afraid he'd done it to be with her.
Did you kill her for me?
No.
But Joe swears it isn't so.
Don't be ridiculous.
She asked point blank, did you kill her for me? He says, I love you so much, I would do anything in the world for you.
But I would never kill my wife.
He said he would never do that. He does not confess to murder.
Maybe Joe's innocent after all. But if he's not guilty, who is? Detectives keep their eyes on Joe and are shocked to discover potentially new suspects in bedrooms all over town. It seems Joe doesn't just have one woman on the side. He's got more mistresses than police can keep track of.
Joe Corona was trying to make dates and have affairs with almost every woman he met throughout their whole marriage. Apparently, he had an affair with a previous mate. He had propositioned some co-workers, a nurse at the hospital he visited, and just about any female he came in contact with.
After years of successfully balancing a wife, a mistress, and a throng of other women, It doesn't seem Joe has any motive to change the status quo by suddenly killing his wife. But one of his many lovers might. Any one of them could be jealous and unstable enough to want Tina out of the picture permanently.
Was it someone that she wanted to get rid of his wife so she could move in and live the lifestyle with him? Other women killing the wife or their lover, you know, it happens.
Police start keeping closer tabs on Joe, hoping that by following him from bedroom to bedroom, he'll lead them to Tina's killer. But the secret Joe leads them to instead is nothing like what they expected. They catch Joe conducting some shady business with Tina's checkbook.
We find out that he cashes a check for $30,000, but the check is made out to his wife, Tina. And we know that that's weird because she's been dead for a while.
The strange transaction tips detectives off that maybe the secret behind Tina Corona's death has more to do with her finances than her husband's sexual indiscretions. Police investigate all of Joe's business dealings, and that's when they make a game-changing discovery. His personal account is loaded with cash that doesn't belong to him. It seems that over the years, all the money his business clients have given him for investments has been going straight into his own pockets instead.
He is taking $25,000, $30,000 at a time from these people. Instead of writing the check to the investment company, he would say, just write it to Joe Corona. They never got a policy on it. They never got anything to verify that they had. And when they did ask for it, he would go in and start doctoring and making up documents.
The deeper detectives dig into Joe's scam, the more elaborate and convincing it appears to be.
Most people didn't notice anything because as investors, you know, you get all this paper with all these numbers and you don't know what it means.
And if they question it, then he would bring up, well, you're my friend. We do things together. You don't trust me.
Could one of these investors have figured out Joe's scheme? But then why kill Tina and not Joe? When investigators look at the names of the people Joe's been taking for a ride, the list twists the case toward a possible answer. Almost all the clients Joe's been scamming are Tina's friends.
He would get those clients through Tina and her family. These are Joe Corona's main source of income or client base.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Why don't we go ahead and sign?
All right.
Right there.
Tina's friends, their neighbors, you know, they invested a lot of money with Joe because of Tina. You know, they love Tina to death. And they thought if we can trust Tina, we can trust Joe.
Okay, I trust you.
Detectives wonder if investing with Joe was Tina's idea, was she in on her husband's scam to rob her friends from the get-go?
Is there any way that they can find out?
It's gonna be fine.
Did she know that he was bilking their own friends?
I always have to question whether or not she was involved.
It's all under control.
Being in on the scam would explain why Tina never left Joe, despite his controlling behavior and serial cheating. And if she was in on it, detectives suddenly have a whole new list of suspects. All of Tina Corona's friends who've been cheated out of their life savings.
People get killed over a whole lot less money than was involved here. People get ripped off who want to take revenge one way or the other. Sometimes it goes all the way to homicide.
You just took our money?
When you take people's money, it's a very dangerous thing because you don't know what people will do if you ruin their lives.
Detectives investigating Tina Corona's murder now suspect she may have been killed by an irate investor furious over losing money in her husband Joe's Ponzi scheme.
When we're talking about these kinds of money, there is certainly a motive when you've now taken $10,000, and for that person, that was probably their retirement or life savings. People have killed for that.
But when police talk to the investors, they're in for a surprise.
Your investments with Joe were a scam.
Joe's been stealing all of my money?
That's right.
Astonishingly, no one is even aware of the fraud. Each and every one of Joe's investors is blindsided by the revelation.
This is so crazy.
I'm like, oh my God. I mean, this man stole all my money. They're like, you've just opened up a Pandora box of fraud.
If all of Joe's investors were unaware of the crime, none of them would have had motive to kill Tina Corona. But if this isn't a case of investor revenge, then why is she dead? Detectives take a closer look at Joe's accounts and make an even more troubling discovery. Joe wasn't just embezzling from his investors.
Not only was he stealing from friends and family, he was stealing from Tina, my sister, also. Even though they considered marital assets, she was bringing in enough money, he was turning around and taking it, sometimes $40,000, $50,000.
Investigators draw the conclusion that actually Tina didn't know about Joe's shady business dealings because if he was forging her name, he was also keeping it a secret from her. It would seem unlikely that she knew and was complicit in all of this.
And if she didn't know, police are convinced Joe's funny business is somehow behind his wife's murder. But it's also clear she was his meal ticket. So why is she dead?
Why would Joe kill the individual that provided him with the lifestyle that he wanted? Why would Joe kill the golden goose? He has a mistress. He had the cake and he was eating it too. So then we start thinking about money. What's the root of all evil? Money.
Police keep digging into the Corona's finances and finally uncover the true motive behind Tina's murder.
They were trying to get this new house. They kept delaying the closing because he was never getting the financial aspect done.
Honey, when are we gonna close already?
Well, I dropped the paperwork off at the bank last week.
It seems Joe had been stalling, and for good reason. As soon as the bank looked into the Corona's finances, they'd see Joe had been running a huge Ponzi scheme.
It was never gonna happen because it was all based on fraud. They're gonna do a background check on your finances. They're gonna find out everything about you. And all that was gonna come out at the purchase of this house.
Maybe something's wrong.
Nothing's wrong. I've got it all under control.
And the more Tina pushed on that to get the house and to close on it, the more that particular, you know, house of cards was gonna start falling.
I can call up and get somebody in.
Don't do that.
Police speculate that Joe realized he could stall the bank, but not his wife.
This begins to raise red flags for Tina. Like, what's going on? Why can't we close on this house?
Joe's web of lies was on the verge of crashing down.
He was out on vacation, then he had a family emergency. I've been in touch with his assistant
nonstop.
You told
me the same thing last week.
I know.
And backed into a corner, police suspect he resorted to murder to keep both his dirty little secret and his money.
I don't believe that Tina would stand for him hurting her friends or her family. It was past the point of him being able to talk his way out of the situation and be this smooth, talking, sly type of salesperson that he was.
This marriage would fall apart if it wasn't for me.
He just had so many things going on that I think it got out of control.
Just stop.
I'm not doing anything. You're being crazy.
The only thing that I believe he could do was to get rid of my sister.
She kept a secret of hurt. She was hurt from being estranged from her family and her mother. Her mother and her were very tight. She tried to make it everything work for Joe.
We're gonna get everything we ever wanted. The house, vacations.
So she had her own secrets. She had her demons with her family. But Joe saw that differently by what he did with the mistresses and the girlfriends and everything else.
But there's still the matter of Joe's airtight alibi. He was at a friend's house with witnesses present during the window of time when Tina was murdered. But no murder is perfect. Police are convinced Joe slipped up somewhere along the way and left just enough evidence somewhere to tighten the noose around his neck. Sure enough, they soon find what they need. It seems Joe may not have been at his friend's house when Tina went missing.
There were phone records that contradicted Joe as to where he was when Tina went missing. Between Tina leaving and going over to the friend's house, there is a time differential where it's a little longer than what Joe Corona says it is.
The calls prove Joe wasn't where he said he was. With his alibi gone, it's now clear that he would have had time to kill his wife.
That was enough to tip the scales for us. We authorized him to go ahead and issue a warrant for his arrest.
It's still a circumstantial case, but Joe doesn't know that. While in custody, he admits to strangling Tina and dumping her body in the truck.
And that just, you know, did sink that last nail in the coffin.
Joe Corona is convicted of murder and sentenced to life in prison. While serving his term, he's also convicted of several counts of fraud.
He lived his life on the backs of others. He benefited from the pain and suffering of others. And he was really willing to do anything to keep his life a secret.
Risky to live your life on lies because at any moment, at any turn, someone could overturn your secret. So you live in fear of that every day, and you protect yourself by more lies and more lies. And in the end, you don't even know what the truth is because you've told so many lies.
Tina Corona thought she was helping make her husband a success by turning him from a shoe salesman into a savvy investor. But instead, he transformed into a slick operator who was willing to lie, cheat, steal, and kill to maintain his new lavish lifestyle.
He's taken a part of me away. You know, and it hurts me every day to think what he did.